Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We're back, hour number two. Live from Padres Fantasy Camp in Peoria, Arizona. Ben and Woods got another special guest joining us momentarily.
Oh, we do? I don't even know about that.
Yes, we do. You'll recognize him when he sits down.
Oh, okay. I'll be surprised.
You like to make fun of his voice sometimes. So we were talking about the Tanner Scott move just before the break. Yeah. Dodgers adding not only Tanner Scott, but continuing to go so far above the luxury tax. Their luxury tax payroll now is at about $375 million, which is almost $75 million more than the next highest team, the Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Yankees. The Dodgers have literally entered a stratosphere that is all their own. When you are that far ahead of the Yankees and the Mets and the Phillies, you're not playing the same game as everybody else. And you mentioned Ken Rosenthal, wrote a piece in The Athletic this morning going, hey, stop, you know, this isn't bad for baseball. This is good. Your teams just need to spend as well. I get it. The Pirates and, you know, the A's and, you know, the A's did a little spending this offseason.
Yeah, they've been forced to spend.
You know, even teams like the Cubs and the Cardinals and the Twins aren't spending. Yeah, there's a space to call out some teams for not spending. You know, even the Padres this offseason obviously have not added any major league players. I pointed out to you last night as we were on our live stream, Padres are still fourth in payroll in the National League.
Yeah.
It's not as though, you know, they are in the Pirates level or anything like that. They're fourth in payroll in the National League, but nowhere near what the LA Dodgers are at this point.
No, and you can't keep up. You know, you can't keep up right now as the TV deal is non-existent and theirs is guaranteed. And look, man, I hate to be sour grapes and stuff like that, and I will be for a while, but once the first pitch gets going, you know, it's on. You got to go out and win those games. And look, if they don't win the World Series, they will be mocked mercilessly by me and about a billion other people, as they should, by the way. I don't care about your injuries. I don't care about anything else. You have to win the World Series.
And, you know, and Rosenthal points out no one's won back-to-back World Series since the Yankees, and maybe the Dodgers won't. You know, the playoffs are the great equalizer. But in the regular season, it's not going to be close.
No, it's not.
I would be shocked if anyone was within 5 to 10 games of the Dodgers in the National League this year. I'd be shocked. I really would.
I wonder what our next guest would have commanded on the open market in his prime. The great Andy Ashby joins Ben and Woods. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great.
Do you ever sit and let yourself think about some of the pedestrian numbers you see being put up right now for $20 million a year? Does it drive you crazy?
It does drive me crazy. I was very fortunate to play as long as I did.
Yeah.
You know, make the money that I made and, heck, be around the Hall of Famers that I got to play with and some great, great teammates. So, it's crazy how much money they're putting out there right now.
Crazy.
But, hey, the game's changed, so here we are.
Yeah.
We just got to meet Chris Gomez for the first time.
He's a great guy.
New camp coach this year. It was a lot of fun. Anything you can share with us about Gomez from 1998 or your time as a teammate with him?
I just think he was a great teammate. I mean, he worked hard, made the routine plays, was there every day giving 100%. But we had a lot of guys like that, so he fit right in. Loved playing with him. Loved having him behind me. So it's great to see him here at camp, though. And he's a funny guy. I mean, he seems kind of quiet, but he's a funny guy.
Flan told me yesterday, he's one of the most low-maintenance guys ever. And he said, you know, you got to have stars in your clubhouse. You got to have guys that command the room. He said, but you really need those low-maintenance guys, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think I ever saw him in the training room or anything.
Yeah.
He would just go out, do his business, get ready for the game, and go play the game.
Were you high maintenance or low maintenance?
What do you think?
I'd say low, but
I was low, but once, you know, pitchers are different because these guys are out there playing every day, but, you know, I only had a pitch every 5 days, so I had to get my work in between, so I had a lot of stuff to do. I'm maybe medium maintenance.
All right, medium maintenance, okay.
Why don't you make a guess? On this show, who do you think is the lower maintenance host and who is the higher maintenance host?
I'm going to say Woodsy is the highest.
Ah, that's not a bad guess.
And we'll just go down the line.
I don't know how I got this reputation. I really don't. Sorry, I like to win, and I like things to be good. Sorry.
Well, you play hard, so you
I'll
know,
never,
you gotta,
I'll never apologize.
You know, explain. Like, what would you say? What high maintenance? Like, you don't have to call out any teammates by name, but what would that mean in your mind in a big league clubhouse? Like, what would a high maintenance guy be?
Always wanting something, you know, your spikes aren't clean enough, you can't find your sliding shorts, where's my bat?
If you missed it, we're chatting with Andy Ashby from the late 90s San Diego Padres, 1998 National League champions, is back with us, was telling about Chris Gomez, that's Dave Dorecki going by, we'll talk to him obviously later in the week as well. Which one of you has Dave Dorecki as a manager again?
That's Paulie does.
Paulie does. It must be great, though, getting to see all these guys at least once a year now as you've become a regular here at Fantasy
Camp. I think it's
camp.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's a great bunch of guys joking around like we're still playing back there. So now Hoffy's here, so things are going to get a little dicey. But it's great. I mean, it's like your memories never leave when you get around, you know, guys that you played with and guys that you watch play. Stories never end. They might get a little more far-fetched every time you tell them, but to hear these guys and be with them, it's special.
Well, talking to Andy Ashby here, and what has become a fantasy camp tradition, I need you to share, because we're trying to grow our audience. We have new ears. Maybe they haven't heard what has always been one of my favorite stories of all time, of one of my favorite baseball players of all time, the great Ken Caminiti. Spring training. So, Andy, if you would, please take it away. Tell us about Cammy at spring training. He's very reminiscent of something I might do.
Okay, so I think it's like the third inning of the spring training game, and this guy, you can hear him just ragging Caminiti from the start of the game. So you can tell every time Cammy comes in the dugout, he's getting more and more heated. So third inning's over, and here he comes. And he goes up to Boach and says, take me out of this game. Boach like, what? He said, take me out of this game right now.
I'm done.
So he said, I'm done. So Brownie and I kind of catch wind of the whole deal. So we follow Cammy in the clubhouse. He gets showered and goes up and sits right next to the guy that was ragging him. And the guy, I think, still a stain in the seat from Cammy going up there and sitting by him, but it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And Cammy was hot. He just sat there and stared at the guy. And needless to say, the guy didn't say anything else.
The guy stayed there though. He just sat and didn't move.
Yeah, frozen. He was scared to do anything.
Scared to move. And Cammy didn't say a word to him. He just stared at him.
He just sat down and stared at him. Like.
What? Wonder what Cammy would have done with a YouTube chat. You know what I mean? Like, I can't dive through the chat at all the a-holes in the chat, but boy, do I want to sometimes.
Well, I think Cammy was just sitting there just to see if the guy was going to say something else, and then it might have got a little dicey.
It sure is different when somebody walks up to you, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? He just saw him on the field. Now he's sitting right next to you. You're like, oh, gosh.
That fence doesn't protect
you.
He can
do that?
It is just the most epic story about Ken Caminiti. And that's the thing, too. It's got to be hard. I got rabbit ears. You know, it happens. Some days it bothers me. Some days it doesn't. But for you guys, you're out there getting worn out all the time from opposing fan bases and stuff. How do you not let it get to you sometimes?
Get used to it. Especially when you're scuffling, you know. But like,
was it hard when you were young? Like when you were a young player?
That bothered me more than anything when I first came up, because you want to do so well, and when you're not, then you have your psyche not pitching well, and now you have these people reinforcing that you're not pitching well. So I learned later on, it took me a couple years, if I'm hearing all that outside noise, I'm not concentrating on my job.
Great.
So I kind of got to where I could shut it off and be like, hey, you need to get locked in here and not be listening to all this outside noise and focus on getting guys out. So thank God it worked out. But, yeah, it can get dicey.
I would imagine the most pressure, though, is not from the fans. It's not even from your coaches. I would imagine you feel it from your teammates, if you feel like you're letting down your teammates, because they all want to win. They're counting on you. You're counting on them. That, to me, is probably the ultimate pressure that an athlete feels.
No doubt, because they're out there playing every day.
Yeah.
I work every 5 days. And then when I go out there and sink it up, I'm not giving them a chance to win. You know, my job was to go out there and go 6, 7, 8 innings and 3 runs or less and let them guys go up and score runs and play defense. But when you don't do that, it's disheartening because you feel like you let your teammates down.
Yeah, it's tough, man. You saw some of it over the weekend in the NFL playoffs, you know, really good players making some boneheaded plays and dropping balls that they catch, you know, 99 out of 100 times. And, you know, the sports fan these days is we're just quick to point the finger and laugh. And it's like, I can't even imagine carrying that around with me.
No.
I just can't imagine it.
No, it's and it stays with you for a while. I mean, you want to do so well, and when you don't, it's you need to get it figured out quick. You just don't want to bury yourself with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Not to bring up any bad memories, but is there a moment, like you brought up Mark Andrews?
Yeah, Mark Andrews.
He will think about that probably for the rest of his life. Why didn't I catch that? Is there a moment that haunts you from your career, like you still think about today, 25 years
later?
Every
game? No, I'm just kidding.
Every game with the good ones.
Just not pitching well in the World Series.
Yeah.
I think we gave him like 6 outs in the first inning, and I gave up a couple runs in the second inning. Got through the third, I think. Then I walked a guy and gave up a 2-run bomb to Bernie Williams. Didn't give us a chance to win. We need to win one game in New York. And, you know, Brownie pitched well in game one. I think we got kind of boned on that 3-2 pitch to
Tino
Martinez.
Mark Langston, yep.
When he hit it off Langston. And then I my job was to come out and give us a chance to win. I didn't do that. So, you know, if there's one game that I can look back on and kind of wish I could go back, I think it would be that one.
Man, that's so deep and insightful. The great Andy Ashby joins us this morning. Ash, it's always a pleasure to have you out here, man. We love you. Every time we see you, it just gets better and better. So thank you for what you do and what you have done and what you do out here.
Well, listen, thank you all for having me. God bless you all, and love you guys too.
Love you too, buddy.
You got it, man. Thank you.
Andy Ashby with us. As I said, we're going to be a little bit off the cuff this morning, so we're probably going to push back, don't do this until later, and continue to talk to fantasy campers while they're available before you guys go out on the field later. So we'll do that coming up and continue talking a little bit of baseball, get into some football as well. First, though, Woods, going to tell us a little bit about QC Kinetics.
Well, I mean, they would have been really smart to come out here and set up just a tent and offer their services out at Fantasy Camp, because I would say there's some joint pain going around the old Fantasy Camp right now. I went through it with pain in my wrists. My wrists feel great. That's one thing that feels absolutely fantastic, throwing and hitting and everything else. But if you're suffering from joint pain in your knees, hips, back, or shoulder, make the decision now to say no in 2025. Make the decision also to say yes to QC Kinetics. They're the nation's leader in regenerative medicine and joint preservation. Revitalize your joints with advanced orthobiologic treatments at QC Kinetics. Array of natural solutions like PRP to attack the pain from arthritis. Want to learn more about how you can refresh your joints and get lasting relief with these incredible treatments? Call QC Kinetics today for a free consultation. Make the most of the new year. Get started now. 619-614-PAIN. 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics at 619-614-PAIN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We're back live from Padres Fantasy Camp. Apologize for some of the technical difficulties. We have hopefully figured out a little backup, so it shouldn't at least happen as often. Hopefully never again, but Going to knock on wood. We'll see if we can keep going. We've already talked to Chris Gomez, Andy Ashby this morning. Talked a little baseball. There was another move made yesterday. Doesn't involve the Padres directly, but perhaps indirectly. Anthony Santander signed with the Toronto Blue Jays. They finally got someone.
They needed a dub.
Yeah, they needed one.
In Toronto.
But it leaves Jurickson Profar as perhaps the top outfielder left on the free agent market.
Yeah.
Someone, obviously, you know, the Padres would love to have a reunion with. That could at least trigger some activity in the Jurickson Profar talks in the offseason, so we'll keep an eye on that. But right now we've got another great guest here from Padres Fantasy Camp. You see him now on MLB Network all the time. Former Cy Young winner with the San Diego Padres, Jake Peavy, is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Jake, it is always good to see you at Fantasy Camp.
Good to see you. Yeah, good morning, guys. It's Fantasy Camp's fun. You know, you guys have a tough schedule because the schedule runs late here. I don't know if you guys know about the Moon Saloon and its after hours activities.
We've heard
what was missed last night.
We've heard of the Moon Saloon.
Nothing but good times.
I know.
Glory days.
This job's really hard after 14, 15 beers. I'll tell you that right now from experience. And you just can't really do a good job the next day. Maybe once a year, but
fair.
It's rough. Jake Peavy joins us this morning. You're looking great. You stay in great shape. I was watching you on MLB Network all year. You crushed it.
Thank you, buddy.
Do you get more nervous going on TV than when you had to pitch?
Probably so.
Yeah, I thought so.
Look, I'm not extremely fond of maybe the way I talk. You know, I don't have a whole lot of college education. None, exactly.
Right.
No public speaking courses or any of that. And I went on a couple years ago for my first time, and I was on with Fran Charles and Cliff Floyd. Cliff Floyd, a former teammate. And Fran goes, "Hey, man, can I help you with anything?" And I go, "Fran, we talk baseball? I got it, bud. Anything baseball-related, I'm good. When it comes to TV talk, any of that, I know nothing, bud. Can you hold my hand?" So a lot of the lingo, when to get it out, the cadencing, you guys certainly know all of that. Just lifelong doing what you're doing. But to stay around the game, to be a part of a team again, which the network is, to be pulling for the game of baseball in general, to grow, for young kids to be a part, it's fun. I learn a lot of the new age analytics and a lot of, you know, what's being blended in along the way, too, with the Brian Kinneys of the world.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's been a fun gig.
I got a secret for you, Jake. Don't tell anybody else.
I love secrets.
We're just making it up as we go along.
Yeah,
we don't have any expertise whatsoever. So don't feel bad if you feel like you're winging it as well on television. That's all we're doing as well.
Well, all you can do, look, we get paid to watch sports, baseball mainly, in my case, and get to talk about it. And that's the best thing about it. I certainly am not ever trying to. I'm passionate in what I believe. I believe it's my opinion, and it's nice to get to share that. It feels nice too when you retire from baseball and you're not really involved. I went back to Alabama, moved back east where my family was for my kids to be around. I lost where I was at, but I told you the Moon Saloon.
Blame the Moon Saloon. That's
fine.
You'll
get the best of it.
Now we go back to what you're talking about. After 15 beers, and I didn't have 15, but probably a good 12 last night. I'm sitting here.
Well, you're not a young man anymore,
Starbucks.
So you know.
Let's fall asleep.
But to get to sit around and talk about sports and watch it and have your opinion and to be a part of baseball, because what I was going to say is that the 5 years or so I went back home to Alabama and I wasn't really involved in any kind of baseball activity, you feel lost. You feel like, gosh, my whole life of commitment to something, what's it worth now? I'm not using any of it. And you go out and you find some other business world to get into, but you're a rookie again. So being back around baseball is what I know. It's who I am, and it's fun.
Well, you've crushed it. You've absolutely crushed it on MLB Network, and they go to you for the Padres talk. Kind of what's your sense right now of where this organization is? Obviously, last year hurt. It sucked. You know, everyone remembers the 24 scoreless, and being that close to the brass ring, you do get the feeling that was their best chance. And, you know, doesn't mean there's not going to be another chance that comes along, but where do you kind of think we stand right now?
Well, I love where we're at, you know, because of where Padre baseball has been and where it's come from. Petco is rocking. You know, home games are home games. We're excited about winning a World Series one day. It's talked about. It's now a precedent standard and something that we're looking to do. And look, when you look at last year's team, when you listen to the Dodgers talk about the team that we had and what it was like playing the Padres, they knew there was absolutely no difference in the two teams. What AJ did last year, or when it started with Arise, I feel like he, you know, really affected the offense. You go out and you add Adam and you add Scott, and you just build. They had a super team. Last year was as good of a year as we've ever had to win the World Series. It just got away, and you see in the playoffs, anything can happen. Where I think the Padres are is, look, we see what the Dodgers are doing. They're the talk. Arizona is getting a lot better and has this winner and got an incredible manager in Torrey Lovello, who I played for in Boston. Same thing with San Francisco. Buster Posey, I know that organization. The NL West is the big boy league. It's now is comparable to the AL East and what that's been talked about. So here's what I'll say. I won a couple World Series, and we did win the division by the skin of our teeth in Boston and won the East, but we were far from winning the West in 2014. You just got to get in the playoffs. For our Padre teams, yes, we want to win the West. But if the Dodgers run away with it, so be it. We're going to get back in the playoffs, and we've got unfinished business now, just as 22 fueled them into something special happening against us in 24. As we move forward, left-hander, good morning. Randy Jones is in the building.
Hi, Randy.
Got to speak to the legends when they walk by.
Oh, yeah.
But you just got to get in the playoffs. And now when we get in the playoffs in 25, I promise you we're going to be the ones with the bitter taste who's been sent home by the Dragon up north. So you get in. Tell me Michael King can't beat anybody in the big leagues. You know, Yu Darvish, we saw what he was made of in the division game. Dylan Cease, we've got some guys that can go do it with a bullpen, with the position players. Just got to get in.
Jake, when you were a player with both the Padres and Giants, you know, the Dodgers would always be standing in your way. With the Red Sox, it was the Yankees in that division. But it feels like it was a little different. It didn't feel like either of those teams were like where they, at least the Dodgers, are now. Do you feel like baseball has a competitive balance issue that needs to be addressed? And I'm not talking about the finances necessarily. I know players never are in favor of a salary cap, but has it gotten a little out of control when you look at what the Dodgers are doing compared now to like the rest of baseball and what they're capable of doing?
No, I don't know. I think the Dodgers, I don't think so. I love what the Dodgers have done. How can you not?
Yeah.
And if this was
unless
our
you're a
team,
fan, yeah,
right. Unless you're us,
yeah.
That's right. And so, man, when you are a Dodger fan, and I've got plenty of them around me, they're through the moon as we were through the moon when we were trading to get Juan Soto, when we were paying Manny and the guys and writing big checks. So, like, I don't think it's bad. I think the Dodgers have built such a system under an incredible leader that we all know very well. Dave Roberts is an incredible man. Their recruiting process up there, they've got all former Padres on their staff. Mark Pryor was a Padre. Josh Bard's the bullpen coach. Caught me my whole Cy Young year. They've got a team and a staff put together, and everybody wants to go be a part of that.
Yeah.
They understand that, hey, we're trying to win a World Series every year. We've got this thing going. Look, it's fun to have the villain. We've always had the kind of superpowers villains back east, and Dodgers have always been somewhat of a villain, but now they've got a target on their back, and it's going to be fun to watch them fall in the playoffs when that day comes.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you.
It's going to mean more.
Yeah.
When we send them home in the playoffs, it will mean more.
There's no.
You're going to have to earn it because that's as good of a team on paper as we've seen in some time.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to Booney yesterday, and he said it's probably the most complete team that's ever been assembled in the big leagues. I mean, you got a rotation that's potentially 8 deep. You know, and that's an embarrassment of riches, but
Sasaki hurt.
Sasaki hurt.
Losing Sasaki.
Yeah, it hurt.
Getting Sasaki here would have changed the tide and really, I think, balanced it out a little bit. But again, I'll tell you this. I was in San Diego last week and was watching and around some of these negotiations. I don't know that the Padres could have done any more. The guy was in uniform, getting loved on you, Darvish. He just wanted to go up there and play with today's best player in Ohtani, his fellow countrymen there. And then when you're the world champions and you can make the pitch that they made, it makes me understand how strong their pitch must have been, because I know the guy wanted to come to San Diego.
Yeah.
Just didn't happen. But you build moving forward. AJ is going to have to get creative as we move forward. But again, you just put a team together that's capable of winning in the postseason with some front-end starters, with a bullpen, and we know we got the position player talent.
Yep, 100%.
Jake, I really appreciate it. It's
Thank
always
you,
good catching up with you. We'll see you throughout the week. But as always, it is always a pleasure.
Same to you guys.
Appreciate
there he is,
you,
Jake Peavy.
Thanks.
Love that,
great
man.
Great Jake Peavy.
We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We can talk a little bit about the NFL playoffs if you want when the weekend. Obviously, I've got some more thoughts on the Dodgers. I don't agree with Jake 100%. I'll explain why. As much as I respect Jake and he made some good points, there's one big thing that I disagree with when it comes to the Dodgers spending there. We can get to that coming up with Ben and Woods here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, I want to tell you about Kearney Mesa Volkswagen in the new year. They still have the best sign then drive sales event going on right now. You do not want to miss your opportunity to save in 2025 on some absolutely fantastic vehicles. Right now, you can drive home the Future Forward ID4 for just $149 per month on a 24-month lease. That's German engineering meets electric innovation at an incredible value. Or if you're looking for something a little bigger, the ID Buzz, electric bus. Yeah, it's the VW bus reimagined, electric style, zero-emission technology, space for all your adventures. And again, during the Sign and Drive event at Kearney Mesa Volkswagen, you're going to pay nothing at signing. Zero down, 0 months first payment, zero security deposit, absolutely nothing due at signing. Just drive right off the lot. Kearney Mesa Volkswagen, of course, part of the Sedano Auto Group, locally owned, veteran owned, and their general manager, Todd Holdren, tier one listener, wants you to say hi. He's ready to give you the best car buying experience in San Diego. So don't miss out, because these incredible savings are not going to last long. Tell him Ben sent you. Visit Kearney Mesa Volkswagen or go online to KearneyMesaVolkswagen.com for more details. Ben and Woods live from Padres Fantasy Camp in Peoria, Arizona, where Paul and Woods are racking up the kangaroo court violations, one after another. Well, I mean, you missed last night's Moon Saloon. Jake Peavy just let us know that you missed out on all the fun last night. Well, you went to bed early after watching your Fighting Irish lose.
Yes.
You're missing the morning meeting right now because you're on the air.
And
they don't really – I know there's no choice, but that doesn't – they don't really take excuses.
They don't.
In kangaroo
court.
No, courts.
They don't. It's but, hey, listen, I'll wear what I have to wear. It's fine. It's all for a good cause.
It is packed in there. We can look in from where we're broadcasting just outside the Padres clubhouse, and this is the biggest turnout in Padres fantasy camp history right now. It looks like every single locker is filled, if not double filled, with campers.
Oh, dude, we're
legends and coaches.
We're in the minor league.
You're in the auxiliary clubhouse.
Yeah,
it is packed.
We told them that we've had such a good run here that new guys are coming in. Send us over there. It's much quieter in there. I have two lockers,
and everyone's wearing authentic Padres gear.
Yeah.
But it's still very easy to tell the difference when a fantasy camper walks by, and then occasionally you see a real Padre walk by
The one walking down the hall here.
And
just a second.
Yeah, just during the break, we actually got to chat with Tyler Wade for a second. And look who's here as well. As I like to call him,
the real rookie of the year
in the National League. They didn't give it to him, but Jackson Merrill is here.
Just walking around.
Yeah, and Paul, you had an encounter with one of the Padres' top prospects yesterday as well.
Yeah, so fantasy camp started on Sunday with some drills and tryouts and all the introductory stuff. And the training staff here told us, hey, it's just you guys for now, but come Monday, prospect camp begins. And sure enough, all the names you've heard, they're all here. They're on the minor league side right now, but you'll see them walking around the complex. I watched Ethan Salas doing some blocking drills yesterday. The best part, though, was after the second game, we had a doubleheader yesterday, and everyone's fat asses heads over to the hot tubs and the cold tubs. Their trainers are dumping full cans of beer into the cold tubs, and everyone's partying. And I look over, and Leo DeVries is in one of the hot tubs after their workouts with a couple other prospects. And the look on his face, I wish I had a camera. The look on his face was, what the hell is happening in my recovery room? And he could not have gotten out of that hot tub faster.
Oh, I bet.
It was unbelievable. He's like, I am done with this.
Yeah,
and everyone's
done.
Just
enough treatment.
Cannonballs into the hot tub. Oh, God,
I'm picturing if Odyssey decided to host a radio fantasy camp and brought in a bunch of people who wanted to be radio hosts for a week, and then they were just in and out of our studios. We're trying to do our show.
I would lose my mind.
They're touching all the equipment, and they're in our production studios when we're trying to cut a promo after the show.
I'd lose my mind. I'd be doing 20 to life after that. We had another one. This is one of my favorites. favorite. This will go down in fantasy camp lore. When I built the Tier 1 baseball team, we got a guy on our team. He's in his 60s. His name's Pete Wilkinson. He goes by Wilkie. And he is, you know, he's a glue guy of the team. He's got long white hair, plays guitar. He's a madman.
Surfer bro.
Surfer bro. Like, he's incredible. So Wilkie gets out here to fantasy camp, and he's enjoying himself. And first day, day of the workouts, he walks up to Chris Gomez. And he didn't know who Chris Gomez was. He just thought, well, here's a guy that looks athletic. And so Wilkie plays in the Tier 1 team, but he also has a 45 and up team that is his squad. So Wilkie walks up to Chris Gomez. He's like, hey, how you doing? Pete Wilkinson, nice to meet you. Hey, look, you look like you're a pretty good ball player. I got a 45 and over team up in Escondido. I would love to have you come out and play for me. And Gomez is like, what? Like, no, man. Like, I don't play anymore. I used to play, you know. For
I was
the
told his actual answer was, how much do you pay?
Yeah, how much do you pay? He's out here recruiting ex-big leaguers for saying, hey, listen, yeah, you can't knock the hustle, certainly. But yeah, Jackson Merrill walking around, that's kind of cool.
So I just teased that I have a disagreement with what Jake Peavy just said on the air, and I will explain. All about that after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So I certainly see what Jake is saying. The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Sure.
It's always good in sports to have a villain. It's good for players that the Dodgers are going to go out and spend the money. I mean, it's better than just them hoarding a big pile of cash and, you know, just sitting on their mountain and not spending the money. I understand all of these arguments. I understand the Padres went out and spent a bunch of money in recent years as well. That got them to the same level as the big boys. You know, the Dodgers are now playing at a completely different level.
Yeah.
But where I think I disagree with Jake, and why I worry about the state of baseball after what the Dodgers have done this and the past offseason, is that it does feel like we've hit a tipping point where fan bases around baseball have become demoralized.
Ours
being one of them, but the Padres fan base is not the only one right now that is feeling just down in the dumps, and there's no – it doesn't feel like there's any optimism. And, you know, the great thing about baseball, you know, as they say, Cubs fans, get them next year. You come back 0-0 record and you feel like you've got a chance to win your division. And the Padres have a chance to make the wild card and even win the World Series next year, as do many teams. And I firmly believe that. You know, there's no team that can buy a World Series. You can buy a lot of wins, but when it comes to the playoffs, that is a great equalizer. But it feels like there's a lot of discouraged fans right now. And no sport wants to discourage 80 to 90% of their fans around the country going into the year. It's not good business to just have every single day you feel like you're taking a punch to the stomach as a fan, whether you're a fan of the Padres or the Blue Jays or the Reds or the Cardinals, you know, who are also been cutting payroll. And, you know, I mean, good fan bases with really good baseball fans who love the sport and love the team. And they're just all feeling right now like this, we can't even compete with this. Just wave the white flag and surrender. And I hate that feeling. It's not, you shouldn't feel that way, but I certainly understand if you do, because even I, the eternal optimist, have had my moments this offseason where I'm going, how do you compete with this Dodgers team?
Yeah.
And the Padres have it worse because they're in their own division.
Yeah.
They're their closest rival, and they're right there just hammering you over and over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, Tanner Scott was the Joker origin story for me. That one, I had visceral feelings and wasn't really surprised about Roki. I really wasn't. But it hurt nonetheless. But the Tanner Scott one, I'm like, why do you need Tanner Scott? Why? Because he can strike out Otani. You know, I mean, they don't overpay for relievers typically. And boy, I'm not saying it's an overpay. That dude deserves it. And that one stung. That one hurt really bad. And, you know, listen, I hope he gets lit up every time he grabs the ball. That's just the way that it is. But I do sense a very big defeatist attitude right now. I'm with it. You know, I totally get it too. It's kind of hard to paint on a brave face and talk optimistically about it. But listen, man, you know, Stranger things have happened. Stranger things have happened.
You know, logically, Jake is right. You know, Michael King can go and shut down any lineup, including the Dodgers.
No doubt.
Lineup.
We've seen it.
Yu Darvish did it in the playoffs. We know these guys can compete against the best in baseball. But it is just really hard emotionally right now. And again, it's not just the Padres. You know, we're feeling it in San Diego, but there's a lot of fan bases right now who are feeling discouraged.
Yeah, like there's, I see a lot of Braves fans I follow too that, you know, they want Alex Anthopoulos. They want him to go out and make moves. They feel like they're on the cusp of greatness, you know, and hell, they've won one recently, you know, and there's just a lot of teams. The Baltimore Orioles, you know, if you're a Baltimore Orioles fan, you're like, okay, I like what we're bringing back, but we did lose Corbin Burnes, and what are we doing to replace him? And we let him get away, and, like, we keep losing in the first round of the playoffs. Are we going to take the next step? And the ownership, the new ownership in Baltimore going, I don't know, we'll see. And, you know, we have all the momentum of, or we had all the momentum of a great season last year. Yeah, man, you wanted to come out guns blazing in the offseason and figure out a way to add pieces, and it just didn't happen. And I don't know how to react to that other than I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, they gave out some grades for the offseason on ESPN.com over the weekend. Not going to shock you, the Padres got an F so far.
Yeah.
I mean, again, they haven't signed anyone to a major league contract. It's been minor league deals. But what might shock you is that almost a third of baseball got essentially failing grades, like D's or worse.
Which is that's a problem
off-season
in and of itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talked earlier about the A's being forced to overspend on players like Leclerc and like Severino. And again, the A's are excited about their season because guys like Brent Rooker, who you know, got a raise in ARB. He's like, dude, now we finally have some guys we think we can compete with. Why not us to go out and win the AL West? You know, why not us? They got a great manager in Mark Kotze, but they're being forced to spend money. There's not that inherent need from 30 teams that says, we absolutely have to improve. We have to improve. You know, the Rockies. I mean, if you're a Rockies fan right now, why bother? Why bother? You know, at least we have some players we enjoy seeing on a nightly basis. If you're the Rockies, you're like, what are we doing? You know, but a lot of Padre fans are feeling, Ben, it could be a friggin' race, you know, between Colorado and San Diego. And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't want that to happen.
You said you weren't surprised by Roky Sasaki.
No.
Tanner Scott did kind of get you.
That got me.
I wasn't that surprised by Tanner Scott. I knew the Dodgers were targeting him and could afford him and would be a great addition to their bullpen. It's been suggested that the Dodgers are now done, that was the final piece to their puzzle. I don't know that I can trust that.
Speak of the devil.
What?
Now what?
I swear to God, this just came down. The Los Angeles Dodgers, who already have folks screaming about their – this is from Bob Nightingale – who already have folks screaming about their payroll, have reached a tentative agreement with free agent closer Kirby Yates, old friend alert, pending a physical.
You got to be kidding me.
The deal comes on the heels of signing Tanner Scott to a four-year, $72 million contract.
Huh, interesting, because I was just going to suggest that I don't know if the Dodgers are really done. There are still other names on the market that might interest them, like – Kirby Yates. I mean, who knows? Maybe they take it Ha-Sung Kim or steal Jurickson Profar at this point. Or Kenley Jansen talked about, hey, I'd love to go back to the Dodgers. He's still a free agent. You know, maybe they'll continue to make moves.
Kike Hernandez desperately wants to be like, look, again, there's got a lot of guys that want to play there.
It's unbelievable.
The timing of that was beyond spectacular.
No financials given, but my guess is that, you know, Kirby is coming off at least a good year deal.
Yeah, really good year for Texas.
Short-term deal, he should do fairly well.
Are we being trolled right now? Somebody just made Edgar said they're just trolling us at this point.
Sure feels that way.
Let's hide all of our fantasy camp alumni. They may try to grab them for their camp next year. Trevor Hoffman's out here.
I know nobody likes the big brother, little brother analogy, but is this not the most big brother, little brother thing? Oh, you want that? Nope. Now
no,
I
we'll
don't
take
want
it.
It.
Yeah, we'll take it.
I'm going to take it.
It's very
Are you
Bowen,
kidding me?
It's very Bowen Taylor, dude.
Yes.
It very much is.
Apparently they were worried because Michael Kopech might miss the first month of the season, so they just needed someone for a month. So let's just get Kirby Yates, the best remaining reliever on the market, as a temporary fill-in for Michael Kopech.
Come
unreal,
on, man.
This is unreal. That is too good. That's too good. I guess I'd tip my hat to the elite trolling.
They like listening to our show and signing guys in response to what we're saying, segment by segment.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Oh, man, that's amazing.
Sorry, Jackson. Somebody took your locker.
I wouldn't go in there if I were you.
Yeah.
Start a riot. I wouldn't walk in there at this moment.
Oh, my gosh, dude. That is too good. That is absolutely too good. Huh. Anybody else you guys want that they can sign?
I really I don't want to stop talking about it.
I know. I do, too. Don't give them any ideas.
Who are the worst free agents available? That's what we need to target.
More ideas at this point.
Oh, man.
All right, a couple minutes to the top of the hour. As long as we're talking about sports disappointments, a sucky weekend in college basketball.
Yeah,
locally, with San Diego State losing to UNLV on Saturday, 76-68. It's their first quad three loss, I think, since like 2020, was it? The pandemic year when they lost their like 27-0 record to the running Rebels. It was one of the most uncharacteristic performances I had seen. Not the first half, when they only scored 23 points. We see that occasionally. It was the second half that I was shocked by, when the Aztecs gave up 45 points and a half on defense and just looked like they had lost their way for 20 minutes. You rarely see that from a Brian Dutcher coach team, where they let some of their frustrations get to them defensively and didn't get back a couple of times. John with the refs a couple of times when they didn't get a call. UNLV would just go down and take advantage. And the Rebels played really well last week. They beat Utah State and San Diego State.
Yeah, riding high.
But that's the kind of loss. And you know, according to what I've seen, the Aztecs are still in the NCAA tournament field, but they're a lot closer to the bubble than they were a week ago, and now they really can't afford any more big-time stumbles, because at that point they could be on the bubble, and when you're on the bubble,
we've seen
what happens. Yep. You can miss the tournament easily. So that was frustrating. UCSD lost on the road at UC Riverside as well. USD lost. I mean, they've had a rough season. But,
Seals lost. It was great.
Seals lost.
Another great weekend. Irish
tough
lost
one as well.
For the Aztecs,
I almost died. It was cool.
You know, we talked about it, I think, probably before the season started. We said, look, this is going to be a really young team, and it's all new players. It's going to take some time. They're going to make some young player mistakes. You were hoping those would get ironed out before conference play.
Yeah.
And that whole game on Saturday, it just kind of felt like, yeah, these are guys that haven't played together a whole lot, and they're young, and they're making mistakes.
I think we got spoiled because they didn't make that many mistakes early in the season. I guess they're going to miss all the growing pains, but
and the other
now we're seeing them.
Glaring omission is they need Reese Waters back. They really need Reese Waters.
I know
back.
He's getting another bone scan. If it doesn't go well, then he's probably done for this year and could do a medical redshirt and hopefully come back next year. But, he was supposed to be the veteran stabilizing presence for the team, and he hasn't gotten to play a single minute for the Aztecs this year.
I want to ask you a tough question about the Padres, and it's based on the little blurb in Kevin Acey's article last week. And, I do think it's a question that deserves an honest answer. And I want to know how fans would feel about it as well. I'm hearing from you guys in the chat right now. There's not a lot of happy people out there.
We got one more segment. We're about to go to break here. We got one more segment before you and I have to run.
And you and
Sam
Tammy.
Levitt is on his way into the studio. Yep. He's not already there yet. So he'll be joining Ben for the rest of the way. But, we'll be the three of us, Sammy, Frank, for our next segment here.
Yep.
All right, we will come back second half of Ben and Woods. Again, we are live at the Peoria Sports Complex in Arizona. It's Padres Fantasy Camp 2025 with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.